Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the first ever Real Talk. So this is going to be our closing event for Second Chance Month. So it's a real big event where we're going to highlight five students that are going to share their resilience throughout education. Their leadership was impeccable to the point where these are the students that we actually reached out to participate in this first ever event that we're having. And it's also just a space to empower them, to let them know that we see them on campus and we know that they're here and they're making moves. So with that being said, my name is Precious Padilla. I am the program specialist for Rising Scholars. This idea actually came to me from watching TED Talks. So if you have any idea about TED Talks, it's an opportunity to talk about issues that are often not talked about, or even just diving deeper into issues that are there and apparent. So what I wanted to use our Real Talk as is in a place of, again, empowerment. So when I call up the students, if we can all just give them the respect of your time, silence, and also if we can turn off our phones or put them on mute so that they have our 100% attention. And with that being said, we have our amazing photographer in the back, Aaron, who is going to be recording this. So if the students are comfortable, we are going to post this to YouTube. So again, if we can, you know, have a little bit of silence so that we can make Aaron's job a lot more easier. With that being said, it's my pleasure to call the first speaker for Real Talks. She is the 2024 Inspiring Woman of Mount SAC. She is a mother, a grandmother, a scholar. She is also a sponsor, and she is Janice Charles. And with that being said, I would love to welcome you to the floor.
Hello, family. My name is Janice. I'm here to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. And I wouldn't say my experience, strength, and hope as an addict, my experience, strength, and hope as a student. As you look at me today, peer mentor, a student, struggling to get this associate degree in drug and alcohol counseling. But 3 years ago, I was sitting in the San Fernando court, facing 25 to life, hopeless. But see, I have a power that I choose to call my God. And there's no more God in me than it is in anybody that's sitting here in these rooms. And he was orchestrating things in my life way back then. And I had no idea, no clue. My experience with facing that amount of jail time made me start opening my eyes. You know, it's not about when you start. It's about how you run the race. It's not even about when you finish. It's about how you run the race. And in this journey in education, I have learned principles, morals, standards, but the most thing that really gets me is integrity. And that's doing something where I don't expect anybody to notice or to see. I do it because I know that's the right thing to do today. My experience in coming back to school, my first thing I had to do is learn how to manage my time. I had to learn how, because not as Precious said, I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, I'm a daughter. I wear a lot of titles, but I also have a son who is a product of my addiction that's 28 years old that never walked a day in his life. So that's my inspiration. That right there is my drive. I get to be a mother now. I get to go to classes that teaches me how to be a mother. I get to go to meetings that's designed to give me a way of living, because for so long, I was hopeless. You know, I was a good follower, but I was a strong leader, all for the wrong reasons. So upon coming back to Mount SAC, and really and truly, I want to tell you, I was scared as hell. I was like, I cannot. First of all, I don't know nothing about computers. I could barely keep a phone. So I really didn't know anything about computers, and everything is so digital world, you know. So I had to walk through, my experience was I had to walk through some fears. And see, fear will keep us stuck. That's where we challenge our core beliefs. We challenge our values, our morals, our principles. We challenge those things. Because when you really challenge those things, you find out those were not your morals. Those were not your standards. Those are things that were impressed upon you, just like God was impressed upon you. Just like in certain cultures, what happens in this house stays in this house. In some cultures, we're just like crabs in a bucket. If one try to get up, the next one is pulling them down. So how do we break those cycles? How do we break those vicious cycles? And just like I said, it's not where you start or where you finish. It's how you run the race. So when I got here, I was introduced to Rising Scholars. And like I said, fear. I didn't want to tell nobody I'm this age and I don't know how to use a computer. I don't know how to do this, but I'm a good actor. So I had to drop that act. That was the most important thing in my road to education, is to drop those acts. If you don't know, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. That's why a lot of us, I'll keep this on me, I stayed stuck for so long because I didn't know how to ask for help. First of all, I didn't know what I needed help in because I had no goals. I had no aspirations. My legacy was I was going to die a drug addict, but that didn't happen. So when I came to school, there were some challenges. You know, I was in a sober living. It was only certain things I could do. But those challenges didn't stop me from getting my education. Like some of my peers that's going to come here and tell you, we lived in Rising Scholars' office. You know, we was there when the door opened and we was there when the door closed. We became a team. We became a family. Even though Mike Sack is our community, Rising Scholars is our community within a community where we people that usually wouldn't mix together come together because in the rooms, it'll say, well, I would have never smoked dope with him. Oh, shoot, I'd have never slept with him. But if he had any money, he had any dope, I would have. So in these rooms, I'm not afraid to say, Timotel, how do you feel this out? How do you feel this out? I utilize the sources and the resources that's on this campus. Not being afraid, even though the inside might be bubbling, like, I can't do this. How do you come here with all this fear and you become the most inspiring woman at 24? How do you come here and you become a legacy award winner? The only legacy I ever thought I was going to leave is that she died at OP. But now my hope. What hope is reaching for something that you can't see and hoping that knowing that you're going to receive it. And if you stay on the path, you're going to have some storms. That's why we like that tree. We blow, we bend. We rock, we might split the sidewalk, but we don't break. And see, another word is we like to say effort. We get a real good case of the efforts, you know, because that's that fear saying, I don't want anybody to know that I'm a failure. But how will you know you succeeded if you didn't fail in something? There's some things that you're just not going to get. But then you got a supportive community and Rising Scholars. And at Mount Sack, you got resources that will help you overcome your disabilities. And my hope to you is don't be a disability to yourself. Don't let this thing between your head tell you you can't do what you can do. You never know what doors is going to open because it's been many doors that been closed in us getting here. There's going to be a many more doors closed because just because you come to school and you're on the right track don't mean life ain't going to show up. It's what you do when life show up. Do you continue to persevere? Do you depend on a power greater than you? Or do you depend on your mind because your best thinking got you in positions and situations that you didn't want to be in? So if I can leave you with anything as far as hope is concerned, I'll say, look inside of you and look at that little girl or that little boy and think of what you hope they might have been. And let that be a challenge in you to nourish that little one, to love that little one like you never loved anything before. And in the end result, you'll see a rose or you might even see a tree grow from a stump. My name is Janice. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Okay. Now we got our second speaker coming up. I am excited to bring to the stage Eric Guevara Rivas, which is a scholar of ours that he's actually entering his second year coming up very soon. I'm proud to bring Eric to the stage because he's somebody that came to us when we were in 9B, was nervous to what we were throwing him into when he was here with his mentor, and trusted the process and has really been somebody that has stepped into the process unknowingly without fear. And I hope you know we see you, Eric. Derek. And with that being said, I'm proud to bring forward Father, Scholar, and also the person that is keeping together our community garden. If you don't know, we have a community garden across the street that Reach has. So also someone that's keeping the Mount SAC campus running. So with that being said, I proudly invite Eric Guevara-Rivas to the stage.
It all started in November 2021 when I discharged from parole. I thought to myself, there has to be more to life than this and beyond parole or incarceration. I just didn't know what it was. To God put certain people in my life to follow a new path in education. When I was growing up, I didn't put too much interest in education. I was individually incarcerated for the majority of my life. But certain circumstances led me to seeking God. And there I met my friend, mentor. As I share my story with you, you're going to see an act of kindness when someone reached out to a person to better his life. I'm speaking through personal experience, how God puts people in your life for a certain purpose. This involves giving up old living habits, gaining a new sense of direction, and pursuing a goal in education. Today, I want to share how education impacted me, a person who's been incarcerated, in my journey as a scholar. As I stand here, first I'm going to discuss how I was before education came in my life, then how seeking God led me to education. Lastly, how I keep myself motivated in pursuing education. Before education was in my life, my study was the streets. That was my education. This led me to being in and out of prison all my life since my adolescent years. So I never had the opportunity to give education a fair chance in growing up. Education was not an option for me. As I'm telling you this, you might be wondering, how can I let this guy in this school? But that was how I was before education was in my life. Next, so let's talk about how the beginning was before education. The way I was living my whole life left no space for education. Before I came to Mount SAC, I was involved with drugs and gangs. It was an environment that I was accustomed to living on a day-to-day basis. I call this gang-infested area my home, my comfort zone. It was a normal thing for me to do growing up in the barrio. I thought this was the way it should be in a day-to-day life. Then I happened to walk into a church for seeking something, for a higher purpose. I was battling with an internal battle at that time. I was applying to kill the mother of my kids. So I seek God to give me patience and guidance in this. In that direction, I was attending the Spanish side of the church. They introduced me to my preacher, mentor, Mark Anthony. I met Mark. My first initial thought, Mark, was, man, this guy's an undercover cop. Plus, he's black. Oh, for sure he's an undercover cop. They're trying to get me for sure now, you know? But this is man right here being nice to me, actually taking an interest in me. He was trying to show me the word of God, at the same time putting himself at risk, not knowing where I was mentally. He wanted to show me the word of God, how I could put God as my moral compass in my life if I let it. When I found out what direction I wanted to take in my education, Mark was the first initial person and encouraged me to go to college. He brought me to Mount SAC. I instantly fell in love with the farm. I found that inner peace in the fields, just like that, and my Mount SAC journey began. Even though I took the first steps in pursuing education, this doesn't mean my journey didn't come with challenges. In the last couple of minutes, how I overcame self-doubts, started to call this place my new home. My transition from Mount SAC from the streets was different for me. I wasn't used to coming to school. It was just a different environment for me. You know, in the beginning for me, it was nervousness. Like, I felt like dropping out many times. Like, for example, my first semester at Mount SAC in the summer, I had a lot of self-doubt and imposter syndrome because I hadn't been in school for so long. I don't know if it was the wisest decision on my part to come back to school since I was older and doing homework at a college level was discouraging at times to a point where sometimes I wanted to quit. But I didn't let these insecurities discourage me because I was a different man now. I had a purpose, a goal, I had in my life before. And most importantly, I had to show my kids different. I had to show that I could be an example for them. That's what kept me motivated in pursuing education. I had to show them that a person that made so many mistakes in life could switch it around, no matter how many times they messed up in life. So I had to keep on going and pursuing. That was my motivation in coming. Mount Psych became my sanctuary from the streets. It opened my eyes to a joy of learning, making education surprisingly a hobby. Discovering supportive community, like-minded people fueled with desire, hungry, like myself. And that's when I joined the Rising Scholars Program. We were all driven, hungry to succeed. And that's what kept me going. Their energy kept me going. It motivated me that we all want to get together, you know? So I want to tell people about our program, that we could switch it up anytime we want. Anytime. It just takes us to take those proper steps in pursuing it. You just need a little push and be surrounded by good people. And just take the proper steps in doing it. Now that you heard my story, let's begin to wrap this up. First, I discussed how I was before education was in my life. Then I talked about how seeking God led me to education. And lastly, I talked how I kept myself motivated throughout my school time. Just know the bad decision you made in life doesn't have to be the decision you live with. With efforts and wanting different in life and actually taking your first steps, no matter how small you're going or where you want to be, sets you on a powerful path in the future. You just got to keep on going and keep pushing and don't give up. Just keep have faith and keep on going. Thank you.
So, look at y'all. Y'all are nervous and y'all are doing great. That really made me proud. Okay, so with that being said, I want to welcome the next person to come up. And this person, he's actually been with us since our old building, which was 9E, which is really crazy to say because if you know Rising Scholars, we've moved 3 times and hopefully this third time is our last time. But with that being said, it is a pleasure to welcome our tutor, 2022 scholarship recipient. Also, he was a part of the speech and debate team last year as well, and also just a real strong advocate for his peers. Every day when I see him interacting with them, coming and trying to connect them to resources and get them the support that he had access to. So with that being said, I am excited to welcome Anthony Arenas to the stage. Thank you.
Lovely day.
All right. Test. Good afternoon, man. Hey, so my name is Anthony Arenas, and this is second chance, man. I heard second chance, and I'm like, dang, I have one too many second chances. I have about a million stories of second chance. So I heard this topic, like I see on the fire, and I'm like, wow. And then all of a sudden, I get this email from Rising Stars, like, hey, would you be interested? I'm like, thank you. So, thank you for asking me to come out. So, I'm trying to think. Does anyone know, like, the feeling of being stuck between a rock and a hard place? You know, it was, like, about 4 or 5 years ago that, I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. And this is what it looked like for me. So, it got to a point before I was able to get a chance to come back to school where I didn't want to die. But I sure as heck didn't want to live, you know? And the main reason behind that was because I just didn't know how to stop using heroin. You know, I heard about, my family telling me, why don't you just stop? And then I would hear, like, people around me saying, well, why don't you just stop? And, I felt completely powerless because I just didn't know how. And as a result of me not knowing how, right, and a little bit of the past, me being formally incarcerated, I knew that I felt safe and protected when I was busted. That was the safe place. So I figured, you know what? I think it's okay for me to take any means necessary to break the law to get that fix. So what ended up happening was I just started committing more and more crimes because I just knew that if I got arrested, I would be safe. And I just feel like I can totally resonate with that. And I talked to a brother before this and I came to the realization that I think this was maybe like 30 minutes ago, but I was really crying and asking for help and I just didn't know how. right? I had no idea how. You know, I was so used to this unmanageability. So, you know, what happened for me is, you know, if I could get introduced to the program of recovery, right? The program of recovery, and you know what? That allowed me to change my perception of life. And it helped me realize that, hey, you know, I'm a person too, and all these things that I did in my past doesn't define me, right? And all these, you know, all these unresolved issues in my life, they could be corrected, you know? And I was able to meet this group of people that they had this happiness that I couldn't even describe. Whenever I'd be around them, they're like looking and smiling and laughing. I'm just like, what? Like, I don't want that, you know? So, you know, my higher power, you know, pushed me in that direction, and I took that action. And as a result of taking that action, I was able to build just a little confidence, you know, just a tiny bit to have this idea like, you know what? I'm going to roll back in school. You know, I had all these fears. And as a result of doing these things, because people ask me, you know, I'm like, you know, maybe I tried this out. And what's wild is I feel like I tell this story so much, but I'm going to go ahead and share this again, right? So, you know, I took that step and in full fear, but I still did it, right? Because someone told me, just still do it. Take that contrary action. So I did it. And I received this call, and this call was from Rising Scholars. I had no idea what Rising Scholars was, but a guy called me and he's like, hey, are you Anthony Arenas? And like, this is like the first month I had a phone coming back to life after getting, you know, entering recovery. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, no, my name's Kevin. I'm from Rising Stars at Mountain Town. And just that whole label, I was like, I just wasn't familiar with any of that. Like, oh, we realize that you're formerly incarcerated. And automatically in my head, I was like, man, I knew I wasn't allowed to go to school. Like, I knew they were going to find out who I was. But you know what? He said, hey, we have a program that's specifically designed for you. And it was so wild is that I answered that phone call sitting at like a dinner table. It was like around 3, and my mom was sitting right across from me, and it was on speaker, and we looked at each other, and I looked and I was like, God. And it was really neat that she was able to experience that with me. I'm like, yeah. And we made an appointment. I think the wild thing is when I made that appointment, I came. So I see people that look like me a little bit, but I was still like a little timid. You know, I was still timid, but I realized that, you know, I was able to get set up with an entire group of people that been through what I've been through, maybe not exactly what I've been through, but similar, you know, similar circumstances, and they just embraced me. And I think that opened my door to education, right? And that opened my door to education. But that first semester, I was one of those students that I went in for my books, right? Because I wasn't even comfortable with myself talking, you know? I went in for my book voucher and I went to class and I got my good grade, but like, I maybe still didn't feel like I had something to bring to the table. And then like, you know, the team continued reaching out like, hey man, like we have this space, come hang out with us. And then I'm like, oh really? Like, I don't know, I guess I wasn't open-minded that like how helpful this program was besides just the books. Because I felt like Rising Stars is my life now. And I never thought that that would be the case. Any program in a college would be a part of me. You know what I mean? And so what happened was, it was a process. It was a slow process. Once I got into Rising Stars, I realized that the group as a whole that I belong to, like we operate the same way that we operate on the streets, but now we're doing it at a school setting. And like that fires me up because I know that like when I go to different places on campus, I see other people and it just fires me up. Like, you know, I know that I'm doing exactly what I need to do. Really like being serious about my education, you know? So I think the thing is like really once I got to talk to Joe, right? And hear him and hear like what he's been through and like him saying, hey, like, you could do it too. And then I got to talk to Timoteo, Janice, the whole crew, right? And the support from Precious is just like epic for me because I feel like when we're in these classes, regardless if we're a part of Rising Scholars, we feel these pressures. And like just those little day-to-day little combos, like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Has totally lift me to that next level to where now I know, like I made a decision that even when I transfer, since I am going to be transferring, I'm still going to be working for Ryu. And it's like, dang, like How well is that? I've never thought that would be the case for me. And, you know, ultimately, I found a home here. You know, I found a home. And, you know, I know that if I put one foot in front of the other, right, and maintain working my program, right, which consists of a higher power, along with a thousand other things, like, I'm going to be okay. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Awesome, y'all. I love Anthony's speech because even when talking about finding that place on campus, I just want to reassure everybody that there is a space on campus for everybody. At some point, you find it. It might not be up from the jump, but you do find a space that welcomes you, where you can go, you could study, you could find your friends, and you could ultimately feel that empowerment to keep pushing yourself to go beyond your wildest dreams. And it's crazy because who would have thought, y'all, that we'd be in the biggest auditorium that Mount SAC has, being able to share your experiences and empower one another to know that you're more than capable of achieving what we would like the minimum of it. You feel me? And with that being said, I got myself a little choked up. With that being said, I'm really excited to welcome our fourth speaker of today. He is a husband. He's a father. He's a peer mentor. He is Timoteo Benitez, who is also another person that I vividly remember in our 9E space when he was bringing in his friends, encouraging them to join the program, encouraging them to come and study. As Anthony mentioned, Timoteo was that person that really pushed somebody to come into the office and talk to somebody when they needed somebody. And when I look at Timoteo, I see a really strong leader that has really persevered through a lot that within his time at Mount SAC. And I'm really excited for him to be able to share his story and share some words of encouragement with y'all. So with that being said, I would welcome Timoteo Benitez to the stage.
All right. Let's go. Let's do this. Hello, hello.
Get to
hello. Yep. You see it? It's teeny.
Hello, hello. All right. Hello, family, loved ones. My name is Timoteo, and I'm just very grateful and thankful that I'm here today to share my experience, strength, and hope. So, at a very young age, I grew up in a lifestyle of gang violence and drug addiction. I remember growing up at a young age, my household was getting shot at, where I wasn't able to walk to school and back because my family was so gang related. My mom and all my tios and primos thought that they were going to get to me just to get to my mom. Because my mom was that neighborhood mom, you know, in the barrio, you know, doors open to every gang member, and I grew up. That's how I grew up. I grew up at night, my house getting shot at, where my mom literally put me and my two younger brothers in the father's room in the back because she didn't want us to get killed. I wasn't even able to just play in my front yard because that's all my lifestyle as a child growing up. That's all I knew. That's all I saw. I remember growing up, my whole house being partying, finding syringes, finding pipes, seeing my cousin do drugs in front of me. So at a young age growing up, that's all I saw. So that's all I knew life was about. So at a very young age, age 13, I joined the gang. I followed my mom's footsteps, my dad's footsteps, all my uncles and cousins. That year when I joined the gang, I got shot with a double barrel shotgun, past the chest and the arm. So from then on, that fear was all inside. So that's when I started carrying guns at a young age. And from then, I was like, you know what, age? You get me, I'm going to get you before you get me. So from the age of 13, and I'd say about 2.5 years ago, when I decided to change my life, it's always been the streets. Always been on drugs. Always drinking alcohol. In and out of prison, the last 37 years of my life. In and out, recycling door, I'll get out, last a month. Catch another 4 or 5 year term, get out. A month. To another 2 or 3 year turn, it was just a revolving door. So this last time when I was out there in my addiction, I was homeless. I was living under a bridge in a tent. I would go to every liquor store in my neighborhood, every 7-Eleven, panhandle to just have a bottle or get my next fix. Until August 23rd of 22, where I had a fatal overdose on fentanyl. And I arrived at Twin of the Valley Hospital. DOA, then on arrival. I have my heartbeat. I don't remember. I can't say I remember anything, but by the grace of God, he brought me back. So that day,
I had to make a choice. And I thought, well, is this really going to be me for the rest of my life? Am I going to end up in prison for the rest of my life? Am I going to die and not come back again? So, like after he said, second chance. I got a second chance at life. You know, I die. And like when my family, when my brother got that phone call and my little brother got that phone call, my wife, everybody, when they all picked me up from the hospital, like when I got on that heart, I felt the silence. I felt it. And I was in the back seat and through the river, my older brother, he kept looking back at me. Didn't take his eyes on the way home. And just kept looking at me and I felt shame, guilt. I felt low. I felt less of it. That was the day I decided to really go to rehab, get clean, go to sober living. And I remember when I was still on probation and I went to the probation office right here in Mona. And I barely got out of rehab and I think it was my last month on probation. And my PO was like, hey, you know what? You don't qualify for the INVEST program because you already, I've submitted your paperwork. You're going to be out probation the next week. And then she told me, she was, but what do you want to do? And then I was like, man, I'll see if I'm going to school to become a drug and alcohol counselor. And she goes, boom, right there, right to scholars. And that was the day I met Kevin. Kevin sat down, talked to me, no, I'm working to write scholars. No, he was like, hey, bro, no, tomorrow I'll come on campus. No, and I came on campus and I met the team. No, at that time we were in like the old building, owned by Nainin, right? I walked in, I met Carlos, I met Rudy. Now he's working too. I know good people, they're all my mentor. I met Precious, you know. And from that day, when I stepped foot on campus, I never left it. I was here every day. I was getting to all the programs. I was telling people on campus about rising scholars, even on the streets about rising scholars, bringing people over here, getting to school. Like, bro, I was fired up. I'm still fired up. And, you know, I can't say, you know, life's been good, but it hasn't been perfect. You know, it's been some struggles. You know, I had a lot of temptations, but, you know, I walked away. You know, when I first started school, I was in a sober living on the way to school. I got ran up on, you know, got a gun pulled on me. And I was like, man, bro, like, no, hey, where you from, fool? I don't bang, bro. Like, I'm just trying to get to school. You know, like, dude, you know, like, but those are the experiences, like, that was the devil knocking on my door because he wanted me just to react and go back to the streets, like, hey, homie, like, I'll come home, go down the street, you know, but I knew where I wanted to be, and I knew where I was going to end up being. My life was better than that. So I just want to say that God tested my life again March 28th. I lost my baby brother to a fentanyl overdose, and he didn't make it. Well, the Righteous Scholars family really showed me. They showed up. Precious, Kevin, Eric, or two other scholars. No, they showed up. Everybody else was here for me, you know? And at that time, like, it didn't really hit me because, like, I was strong for my family. But now that I think about it, is we never know the blessings that you got in life until it hits close to home. You know? And as me being, you know, I went to school to become a drug and alcohol counselor. I just seen like, damn, man, it hit that close, you know. I lost a lot of friends because when it's your own loved one, your own little brother, it really tears, you know. I always gonna leave a hole in my heart, you know. And if it wasn't for my scholars, for my friends and my scholars, I think I would have gave up. Like, I think I would have drained, I would have backed on the news, but I leaned on Rising Scholars. And like when I was down, they picked me up, like, come on, bro. Like, you know, people calling me, check on me. What's up? You all right? Anthony calling me, like, no, Eric, like, Janice, like, everything. People were there for me. And I see that, like, damn, these are real friend. This is a real family right here, you know? And so I don't let my past mistakes determine who I am today. Well, because if it wasn't for me going through what I went through, it wouldn't make me the man I am today. No, I'm very grateful. I'm a father to my 2-year-old daughter. By the grace of God, she came back in my life. I'm a husband. I'm an uncle to my 19-year-old nephew. And I'm a brother to the 2 brothers I got left. And as far as education, I'm on fire, man. Like, in my last 2 semesters, I walked out the classes with nothing but A's. You know what I mean? And I was very proud of myself. Like, I was like, oh, homie, like, because whoever thought somebody like me would really, 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 like walk out and have straight A's. He was like, come on, right? And then think about, like, man, but I never gave myself the chance. But today I do. No, I suit up, I show up. I'm always here. I'm going to ask everybody out. If I don't know something, we're going to find out, believe me. And I'm just very grateful that I have the honor and the privilege to be amongst you. You know, and I think another door is going to open for my 2 friends, Janice and Janet. We went to get our life scan, and that's another door that if God's willing and God's ignored, it's going to open a door for me now to go back into camps, right? A place that I thought I'd never walk back into, but I can walk out and help people out as well. And it's just been a good journey. And that's our story. Thank you. Demo Del V.
Okay. I actually think this is a perfect opportunity to share this. We do have our last speaker coming up, our last but not least speaker. But with that being said, with everything y'all have been sharing, it's just been something reoccurring on my mind, and Timoteo really solidified that. I forget to share this a lot, if I'm being honest with you, and I'm trying to get better with it. So I am indirectly system impacted, meaning that I have not been directly affected by the criminal justice system, but I have indirectly impacted because of my dad, my uncles, my cousins. I can only say that 2 of the men in my family have not experienced incarceration out of the other ones. And with that being said, I grew up hearing from my dad that he wasn't supposed to be here. He was supposed to be dead. Constantly told me that growing up. And I kept telling my dad, no, you're meant to be here. There's a reason why you made it out. There's a reason. I strongly believe there's a reason to it. And I said this in the past. I've said this at our Still We Rise ceremony this last Saturday. But I really strongly believe there are no mistakes at Mount Sac. Y'all were meant to step on this campus and meet the friends y'all met. Y'all were meant to come to this campus to make the change in your own family's lives. Because you just being here is opening doors that is beyond our own imagination. And that's the crazy part, is because we simply trusted Mount Sac, we are where we are right now. Because Mount Sac's going to help you find who you are. It's going to give you that door to explore different things that we never thought we would. Going to meet new people that you never thought you'd interact with. And with that being said, it really gives me a good segue into our last speaker, Victor Sierra, who actually had a speech class with Eric Guevara. And they're sitting in a speech class. Y'all didn't know each other, if I'm correct. Didn't know each other. Ended up finding each other. And that's where Eric was able to bring Victor into the Rising Scholars space. And that's where we met Victor, who is a proud veteran, who is a very supportive partner from just conversations I've had with him, and is a really dedicated scholar that is constantly trying to study, get other people involved, connect with other students in our space. And this is all within a semester and a half of being in Rising Scholars. So imagine what Victor's already going to do past this point. So I'm really excited to welcome Victor Sierra to the stage, our last but not least final speaker.
Just last year, I was sitting in a dark Veterans of Foreign Wars bar. I was drinking straight from a bottle, had a gun in my hand, and I was contemplating suicide. I had served as a Marine with Special Operations Infantry Groups. I lost 90% of my company to IED strikes, gunshots, and suicide. Not only when I came back in that bar and I got home, I had a real self-reflection with myself. I asked myself, what scares you more than anything in this world? I asked myself, what is education does. Education scares me more than death. It took me a long time to understand why I think like that. Because I would have never imagined that I would make it as a scholar or be here as a student. After all that time, dealing with people telling me what to do with myself and Marines telling me what to do, I got pulled back into a world of addiction. I got pulled back into a place where I never would have seen myself again. So today, I first want to share my experience with my education and my personal life. And this is all after my military discharge, my medical military discharge. Then I'll touch on my experience coming back to Mount SAC. And finally, the success I've had reintegrating back into education. Reintegration back into education has been an overwhelming problem for the veteran community. Veterans struggle with four main problems: managing strong emotions, lost sense of purpose, lack of faith, and mental illness. I was released from the Marine Corps December 30th, 2016. Those issues have affected my ability to pursue my education. Being unable to regulate my emotions has affected my relationships, has affected my family relationships, has ruined my marriage. To this day, my PTSD still hasn't been resolved. I don't know if it ever will be, but it keeps me from making those social connections that's required as a leader. Ultimately, my inability to manage my emotions led to my divorce and landed me to make decisions that put me into the incarceration system. Now that I discuss my challenges with after military service, let's discuss my turning point moment that inspired me to come back to college. Less than a year ago, I was contemplating suicide. In the memory of a Marine, Corporal Michael J. Dutcher, who I served with, and still his memory keeps me alive. We were sitting on a post in Afghanistan, like most Marines do, watch out for the enemy. He would tell me, "Man, Victor, I'm so excited to go back to school when we get back home." But he didn't make it back. From that memory, I reluctantly went back to Mount SAC and started in the summer of 2023. I thought I could handle being a student without having any friends, without being part of any clubs, or without using the resources or the programs here at Mount SAC. I was wrong. And I found myself almost failing the first semester here. My fear of education kept me from believing I belong here. At a time when I needed the support the most, rising scholars found me. They gave me a sense of purpose to overcome a big fear, which is education. Now that I covered my experience coming back to Mount SAC, let's discuss where I stand now and my journey as a student here. After the struggle I faced with mental health, sense of purpose, and lack of faith, I currently find myself involved in student life. I'm excelling in classes. I'm making a difference. Currently, I'm pursuing a master's degree in rehabilitation counseling. I'm working at the Veterans Resource Center. I'm a member of the Male Minority Initiative and the president of the Student Veterans of America Club. I truly believe without the resources on campus and the inspiring mentors that I met along the way, I would be back in that bar waiting for my life to end. Today, I covered the challenges I faced. First, coming back to college after military life. Then the turning point that inspired me to come back. And finally, where I stand here as a student at Mount SAC. At the end of the day, if you're going to take one thing away from this speech, it's to understand that the life-changing resources here on campus can make a difference, if you let them. You should ask yourself what difference you want to make for your family, for other students here on campus, and more importantly, for yourself. Because for me, my trauma and my pain are my motivators and drivers to continue to inspire students, other veteran students, and incarcerated students. Thank you.
How do y'all feel? Yeah? Y'all feel good? I'm glad to hear that. I want to, at this time, welcome James Wana to the stage. He's going to support me with providing some a token of appreciation to y'all. So with that being said, it's about like 2 months ago, I think I messaged y'all, if I'm right. 2 months ago, I emailed the 5 lovely faces that came up and then also 2 other students where hopefully I could convince them to do it next year after seeing that their peers were able to do it. But I'd emailed them and said, congratulations, you were selected for this event. They trusted us with literally little to nothing to really see of how this was going to go, but they trusted us to come up here and share their story and share how education has really been that turning point for them to spark hope and also pride in what they stand for and doing every day. With that being said, a little story. I used to come, me and Kevin used to have a little back and forth because when I would send emails, I would say, what's up, scholars? And he's like, some people don't see themselves as scholars. And I'm just like, well, if you're in Rising Scholars, you see yourself as a scholar. And if you see, I've been a lot more of scholars, scholars, scholars. And we've actually come up with a logo that is literally certified scholar. When you graduate, that's something you receive. Another thing you receive when you graduate because you pushed through and persevered through a lot of different obstacles is you get this pin. It's a Rising Scholars pin. A lot of the time, if you see it, people ask, how do you get this? You only get this during graduation and then a few different events that when you push yourself out of your comfort zone, we try to provide them to you. So with that being said, if I can invite Anthony, DiMatteo, Janice, Victor, and Eric to the stage. James is, go ahead, clap. Y'all got this. Yep. James is going to pin y'all with the Rising Scholars pin for our token appreciation, but also as a symbol, as a time where you really push yourself past your fears. So with that being said, I'll give James the pin and he'll pin them on each of the scholars. I already kind of took one off for you. Gotcha.
That's right.
Huh? Just push on.
How people deal with the mobile.
You're going to be a free hands.
I got you. I've had it with you. I've had it with you.
And while James is doing that, I hope she don't feel no type of way me putting her on the spot, but we also did have 2 other scholars that were going to be up here today, but just with life and also different things going on with their classes, they weren't able to join us. But we do have someone here as support that was supposed to join us. Her name is Janet Cisneros. She's in the audience right now. I was going to say the class. But Janet is here, and she is somebody that still went along the process with them of showing up to the different practices we had, show up in the conversation and different group chats that we had of trying to get everybody out. So I'd love to invite Janet so she can also receive her pin of appreciation. And who is last person?
Yes,
Janet.
Oh, thank you.
Don't be careful when you touch me.
And with that being said, this actually does conclude the first ever Real Talk. I highly encourage, if you are inspired or even just want to participate in something like this next year, please reach out to these lovely 6 and then also Shantae Jones, who also was a part of the original planning for this group. And just know that although this can be really scary and also just something that's really out of our comfort zone, we're more than capable of doing it. And this is also something where when I was really thinking about it, actually I didn't share this story either, is so one person that really pushed me to do this, and I don't know if he knows this, is Eric. When Eric was doing a speech class, he would come in every single day to show us his speech and practice his speech and just really try to have us connected in what he was doing in his classes. And one of his speeches was actually on solitary confinement. And he talked about how isolation is damaging to the brain. There's actual research that shows there is isolation plays a factor into harming the brain. And when Eric was sharing that, I was thinking, well, damn, something like Real Talk can be a space where we're bringing in community. And what does community do? It sparks collaboration. It sparks building a safe space so that you can push yourself outside of your comfort zone. So that's ultimately the goal of what Real Talk is. And I hope it's something that really puts its roots at Mount SAC so that we could continue inspiring students and pushing them to knowing that they are more than capable of achieving anything they put their mind to. With that being said, I want to thank y'all for coming. If anybody wants to add any closing remarks, the floor is open. And with that being said, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.